Hello there and welcome to the program. Well, here we go. Get ready. It is the first Sunday of Advent. Man, I've been thinking and talking about this for a long time, and here we go. We begin this weekend, the new liturgical year, the new church year. We begin with the first Sunday of Advent. We're going to talk about it. We're going to read the Mass readings and discuss them a little bit. And the message this week is very simple. Get ready. Time to prepare. Here we go. And in addition, I'm going to be talking a little bit about my brand new book, Find Peace in Advent, 4 Weeks to Worrying Less at Christmas. If you haven't picked up your copy yet, it's not too late. I'm going to give you the information on the other side of the prayer about how you can pick up a copy of Find Peace in Advent, 4 Weeks to Worrying Less at Christmas. But before we get started, I just want to let you know what a pleasure it is to be with you, to get to be able to spend this time with you as we let the Lord speak to us through the Mass readings, as we prepare to enter in this time of preparation, this season of hope, this season in which we prepare for the coming of Jesus. And I'll tell you what, it's a tricky season. It's a tricky season because of the fact that we are going to get pulled in so many different directions in the next 4 weeks that it's so easy to forget all about preparing to welcome Jesus, because we can easily get distracted. So we're going to do our best to focus on what we need to focus on in order that we can be fully prepared to meet Jesus on Christmas Day. So if you're ready to go, please join me as we begin in prayer, turning to our Father in heaven who is standing by waiting to hear from us. Please join me in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father, we're very grateful for having this time to be able to converse with you in prayer. Father, I never want to take this time for granted, even though it is easy to do so, because it's difficult because of the fact that you're invisible and we can't see you. But through faith, Father, and with a little bit of determination, we can make the effort to remember that you are present with us. And we do so by saying those words, reminding ourselves, you're present with us, Father. We remind ourselves that you can see us. We remind ourselves that you can hear us. We remind ourselves that you are bigger than any problem that we could ever face. We remind ourselves of the fact that you created us out of nothing and you adopted us as your children. You love us with an infinite and unconditional love, Father, and you only want what's best for us. So as we turn to you in prayer today, we ask you to bless us and our families and our friends. We pray for all those who are sick, those who are lonely, those who are grieving today. We pray for those who are headed in the wrong direction, maybe those who don't have a relationship with you, those who are maybe don't even understand that it is possible to have a relationship with you. We lift up all these individuals. We pray for the souls in purgatory. We pray for all of us who are on this Advent journey, preparing to welcome your Son Jesus more deeply into our lives. Father, we pray for those who are struggling with addictions, those who may be homeless. We pray for all who are looking for work, especially those who are unemployed at the moment. We pray for those who are having trouble financially, who can't pay their bills, those around the world who are hungry or dealing with religious persecution or oppressive governments. We lift these intentions up to you, Father, and also I ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit upon me so that I can deliver your message today, not my message, but the message that you have for us today. And please, finally, Father, open up all of our minds and our hearts so that we can hear your message and put it into practice in our lives. And as we always do, Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much for praying with me again. This is this weekend we look at the readings for the first Sunday of Advent. And a couple of things that I wanted to mention to you. First, I was talking a little bit about my latest book, Find Peace in Advent, 4 Weeks to worrying less at Christmas time. I really do believe this book will help you. Here's the backstory of this book. You're probably familiar, or you may not be, with my book, Give Up Worry for Lent, which is without a doubt of the 13 books that I currently have available. It's my best-selling book ever, and it's a book that has blessed me, and I know from what I hear so many people in so many different ways. It's a daily devotional, if you're not familiar with the book, guiding the reader through the Lenten season. And, you know, in the back of my mind, several years ago, the idea came to me is that there should be a Give Up Worry for Lent written for Advent, because Advent's a tricky time, isn't it? We know we're supposed to do something during Advent, right? But a lot of times we're not sure what we're supposed to do. During Lent, we at least know that the church encourages us to give something up. But during Advent, we're not sometimes sure. We know we're supposed to prepare to welcome Jesus, but what gets in our way? Well, for one thing, Jesus was born 2,000 years ago. So we're preparing for an individual who was born 2,000 years ago. So What's the preparation for that, right? Now, I'm not saying that there isn't an answer to that. That's a valid question. Like, why am I preparing? And the other thing is, the other obstacle to preparing for Jesus during Advent is technically the church encourages us to prepare for the second coming of Christ. And I don't know about you, but for me, the challenge to that has always been, well, he hasn't come back for 2,000 years. Why should I expect him to come back anytime soon? I mean, that's typically what happens. And then you face that other, possibly the third problem with preparing for Jesus. Even if you acknowledge the fact that, yeah, well, it's possible that I will die before the Lord comes again in glory, and I'm going to be judged at that point. You know, whichever comes first, he comes again in glory or my death, that's when I'm going to get judged. And the Lord's going to make a determination based on the decisions I've made in my life, how I lived my life, whether I'm going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. But the problem with that is, for most of us, we don't really expect to die anytime soon. So, you know, we have all these obstacles. And you throw into that the busyness of preparing for Christmas. You know, for many people, the Advent is just ignored. You might start off with good intentions, but then we're just so busy, we get overwhelmed. And we struggle to prepare. We just don't know what to do. And what happens when you get overwhelmed? You don't know what to do when it comes to Advent preparation. You don't do anything. It's not always a conscious choice, but it just sort of happens. You get swept up in other things. So in writing this book, Find Peace in Advent, my number one goal was, as with every book I have ever written, to lead you and anybody who reads this book closer to Jesus Christ through his church, and to let him give you the peace that he wants you to have. And that's why I came up with this title, Find Peace in Advent. I mean, who isn't looking for peace? We're all looking for peace. A lot of times we look in the wrong place, but we are looking for peace. So I figured that we might not think Jesus is coming again anytime soon. Again, I'm not saying that's not true. He might come today for all I know. But this is the perception that we often have. He's not coming anytime soon. I'm not dying anytime soon. He was born 2,000 years ago, and I'm busy. And I'm not sure what to do to prepare. You put all those things together, you don't know what to do. So in the book, in the introduction, I make the point that we might not know the details of when we're dying, when the Lord's coming again, but we do know that Christmas is going to be here in a relatively short period of time. We have a date fixed. This year it's December 1st, the beginning of Advent. By December 25th, it's Christmas time. So in the introduction of the book, I make the point, well, let's use Christmas as our goal, because we know that's imminent, and prepare to grow closer to Jesus every day between now and then. And that's what this book is all about. It's a daily devotional. Each day I have a Bible verse taken from the daily mass readings, a reflection, a couple thoughts on the verse. I have a call to action after we've heard the message, reflected on it. Well, now what can we do in response? And finally, I have a prayer. Again, 5 minutes each day is really what the material in this book takes. So I wanted to write it for those who might be busy. I don't want to overwhelm anybody. We're already overwhelmed enough. And I think it's very doable. So I'm going to encourage you to pick up a copy of this book if you'd like. You could do so by visiting my website, followingthetruth.com. You can also go to AveMariaPress.com, or you can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or any EWTN religious catalog carries it, any number of online sources you can go to pick up a copy of Find Peace in Advent. Now, in addition to the book, whether you pick up the book or not, I've talked to you in the past about my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. Well, beginning on December the 1st, I might do it a couple of days before now. I don't know when you're listening to this program. It might be December 1st. It might be the day before, depending on when your local station picks up the program or if you're listening through the podcast services. I'm going to start in my daily reflection, adding to the material in the book. I'm not going to just rehash it. I'm just going to give a couple extra thoughts. So in other words, we're going to be walking through the Advent season and my book, Find Peace in Advent. We're going to be walking through it together. If you would like to sign up for these daily emails, they're totally free of charge. You just go to followingthetruth.com and you'll see a little picture that says, sign up for Gary's free email, daily email reflection. Submit your email address and you will receive it every day. And that also is very easy to read, very short, very concise, to the point. I want to walk through Advent with you, and I really believe that together we can draw closer to Jesus. I really do. And we're going to let the Holy Spirit be in charge of the whole operation, but we're going to do our best to draw closer to the Lord. Now, today we're going to hear the message as we look at these Mass readings. And I will say this, they are not overly long, these Mass readings. They're relatively short. But the message, without a doubt, is get ready, prepare. He's coming. Let's do what we can. And the final point I want to make about all this preparation is we are preparing to draw closer to Jesus or to welcome him more deeply into our lives. And that answers the question of, well, he already came 2,000 years ago. What am I preparing for? We are preparing to welcome him more deeply. We want him to take over more of our lives. We want to get to know him better. We want to really embrace him as our Lord and as our Savior and as our friend. That's what we're preparing for during Advent. Yes, ultimately we're preparing for Judgment Day, but it's even more timely than that. We're preparing today, even before we die or before he comes again, to welcome Jesus. We want to get to know him better. We want him to be a bigger part of our lives. So with that in mind, let's begin the process. Man, this is exciting. I really am excited. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. As we look at the Mass readings for the first Sunday of Advent, I'm going to do what I do each week and start with the Gospel. That's going to set the stage. We're in Luke chapter 21, beginning in verse 25 this week. Final point about the readings. You know, during ordinary time, I tell you often that the church, the Gospels progress sequentially, as does the second reading. And then the first reading and the responsorial psalm are chosen each week, each Sunday, by the church to match up with the gospel, sort of to supplement the gospel. During the Advent season, during the Easter season, during Lent, during the Christmas season, all of these readings, we're not progressing sequentially anymore. The church is handpicking specific readings to lead us down a certain path. So these are very special readings. They're all chosen by the church under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for a reason. Gospel today, Luke chapter 21, verse 20, beginning in verse 25, Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these signs begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand." Now, Luke, in this, and quoting Jesus here, is really delivering this message from the Lord, saying, you know, you're going to see it one day. most obviously at the second coming, but the spiritual coming of Jesus more deeply into our lives, that can occur while we're still alive, and that's the hope that it does occur. And in this Advent season, this is the time the church sets aside for us to get ready. Continuing on with the words of Jesus, the Lord said this, "Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that they catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times, and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent and to stand before the Son of Man." In other words, now is the time to get ready. We could talk about it all we want. We could put it off into the future, say, yeah, one of these days I'm going to have to get to know Jesus better. It's up to us right now. If we do nothing, Christmas Day is going to roll around and you will not be any closer to Jesus. And I should say this, we will not be closer. I don't want to point fingers at you because I've got to watch this too. If we do nothing to prepare for Jesus, we're going to know him as well as we know him right now, maybe a little less. He wants more than that. He wants more than that. And that's why so many times we don't have peace, because we don't have the relationship with Jesus that we should. And honestly, every one of us can and should improve on our relationship with Jesus every day for the rest of our lives. We don't want to get to the point where we say, all right, that's it. I know I'm good enough. I don't need to do any more. No. He wants us to continually work at drawing closer to him. And therefore, that's what we can do during this Advent season. All right, so there's our wake-up call. Get ready. Here we go. We're in Advent. The ball is in our court, yours and mine right now. What are we going to do to make it a point to grow closer to Jesus? I guarantee you this. If we make the effort, he's going to respond much more than we, in a way that vastly exceeds our effort. Jesus will not be outdone in generosity. You give him some time, he is going to bless you in ways unimaginable. Okay, now you might not feel it all at once, but gradually you're going to get to know him better. The first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 14 and 16. You're going to see this same theme of get ready, it's coming. "The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and Judah. In those days, in that time, I will raise up for David a just shoot. He shall do what is right and just in the land. In those days, Judah shall be safe, and Jerusalem shall dwell secure. This is what they shall call her, the Lord our justice." The promise is there. The Lord is coming. At the end of the world, when we die, and also every day, gives us that opportunity for us to encounter Jesus. How well we will encounter him, how much grace we'll receive, that depends on how badly we want it. If we make the effort, we are going to receive more of Jesus. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 25, "To you, O Lord, I lift my soul. Your ways, O Lord, make known to me. Teach me your paths, guide me in your truth, and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and for you I wait all the day. Good and upright is the Lord. Thus he shows sinners the way. He guides the humble to justice and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are kindness and constancy toward those who keep his covenant and his decrees. The friendship of the Lord is with those who fear him and his covenant for their instruction. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul." I liked the one verse in here, "Good and upright is the Lord, thus he shows sinners the way." And then there's another verse prior to that, "Teach me, for you are God my Savior, and for you I wait all the day." You know, Advent is basically a season of waiting, of, I would say, expectant waiting. Not just waiting, doing nothing, but waiting, preparing, expecting something to happen. The Lord does want to guide us. He does want to lead us. But in order for that to happen, we have to make some effort. He doesn't do it automatically. There are times when I wish he would do it automatically and make it a lot easier for me, but he won't. So if you or I want to waste this Advent and do nothing, he'll let us do it. But why waste it? You know, I've wasted a lot of Advents in my life. I don't want to waste any more. So let's continue together to work on getting to know Jesus better so that when Christmas rolls around, he's going to be a bigger part of our lives than he is now. The second reading is from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 3, verses 12, all the way through 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 2. So what we see here is we're spanning chapters of 1 Thessalonians. Brothers and sisters, Paul writes, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we have for you, so as to strengthen your hearts to be blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his holy ones. Did you catch that? To be blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he's on his way. Let's do what we can to repent, to change things, to make room for him. Back to Paul's letter. Finally, brothers and sisters, we earnestly ask and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you should conduct yourselves to please God, and as you are conducting yourselves, you do so even more, for you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. Paul's reminding the individuals to whom this letter was addressed, the church at Thessalonica, that he was instructing them on what they need to do to get ready to meet Jesus. You know, at the time these letters were written, I think 1st and 2nd Thessalonians especially, many people expected the return of Jesus, the second coming, to be imminent. They expected him to come back quickly. You know, we're looking at this with 2,000 years of hindsight. We see it differently than they did, but they thought he was coming very soon. And don't you think that's a healthier approach? Because if you think that, and you know, look, none of us, I would say, have the perfect disposition when it comes to our relationship with the Lord, in that we would like to say we love him without any strings attached, but because of our fallen human nature, that becomes easy to do. So many of us, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this, it's something we certainly maybe should work toward, work overcoming, but a lot of times we look at, well, when the Lord comes again, I'm going to get judged and I don't want to go to hell, so I better clean up my act, right? That's what you would call imperfect contrition. But that's a good way to get started. And if it motivates you to make the changes necessary to grow closer to Jesus, to follow the will of the Father, and to ensure that judgment goes well for you, if that way of thinking motivates you, then tap into that. You know, that just about everyone who has made a serious decision to follow Jesus Christ at some point in time has dealt with that and started with that. It's a great starting point. I don't want to go to hell. I need to change things. You know, and because it's effective. Now, we want to grow beyond that. We don't want to continually believe that way. We want to get to the point where we're saying, Jesus, you died for me on the cross. You did so much for me. I love you so much that I want to repay that. I want to love you. That's a more healthy attitude of a follower of Christ. But oftentimes it starts with like, I don't want to get in trouble, so let me do what I have to do. At any rate, look, we all slip up at times. And oftentimes I do respond to that way of thinking. If I don't want to be nice to somebody, if I don't want to go out of the way, if I'm being lazy when it comes to serving the Lord, every now and then I think like, okay, I'm going to have to give him an answer one day. And I'm not saying that's perfect, but it's a start. And that motivates me to do the right thing. I try as much as I can to love him just for his sake alone, not because of what I'm going to get out of the deal. But when I'm having a bad day, and I don't feel like loving him, you know what I'm saying? Then that reminder that, okay, I'm going to have to give an account, that kicks in. And that enables me to get over the hump and do the right thing and follow Jesus and his commands. Okay, there you go. That's the readings. And you see, sprinkled throughout all of these various readings for the first Sunday of Advent is this get ready message. Okay, here we go. And that's what you see throughout the first week of Advent. In every year this takes place, every year as we begin Advent, the very first week we're reminded, okay, not much time left, better get busy. And that's good because that gives us, as I like to call it, that sense of urgency. And that desire, it helps us desire more earnestly to prepare for the Lord. Well, I want to thank you for hanging out with me today. Again, remember, find peace in Advent, 4 weeks to worrying less at Christmas. It is now available. Even if you get it a few days late, it absolutely doesn't matter. We'll still work through this book. Read the introduction, pick up wherever you are when you get the book. And the daily email reflections, until the book arrives, and even when it does arrive, sign up for my daily email reflections at my website, followingthetruth.com, and you're going to get a little snippet of something from the book with a little additional insight as well. Followingthetruth.com, again, is my website. You can get it all the information you need there. I want to thank you for joining me today on the program. Please know that you are in my prayers. Let's continue to walk through Advent together. I'm going to be praying for you every day, and I would greatly appreciate if you'd pray for me and for my family as well, as we all try to become holier and be better prepared to welcome Jesus on Christmas Day. Got a few weeks left. There is time. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to lead us, and I'm privileged and honored to be able to have you on the journey with me. If you have questions, gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. I would love to hear from you. And until we meet again, God willing, we're going to do it again next week. I look forward to drawing closer to Jesus with you. Remember the daily email reflections, and we're going to do this. We're going to do this, and we are, as long as we put in the effort, going to draw closer to Jesus each day. God bless you. Thank you again. Talk to you next time.